Yeah, I certainly don't want to sound ageist when I raise concerns or any element of surprise around a 92-year-old being elected. But it is certainly a surprising number. And 92-year-old Mahathir Mohamad is now officially the world's oldest leader, unsurprisingly so. But this is a democratic process. He's been sworn in as Malaysia's prime minister after the May 9th election that brought him back to power after 15 years away. It is the first time the country's witnessed a change of government for 61 years since independence from Britain in 1957, we should also point out. So a lot more going on. Shannon Teo, Malaysia Bureau Chief at the Straits Times, joins us on the line to reflect a little bit further. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And, I mean, first of all, were you greatly surprised by this election outcome?
I was, really. I mean, even before the official results were in and Mahathir had made a statement that they had won, there was an atmosphere of disbelief, really. I mean, the official results were slow in coming in, but information from the ground was that there was a sweeping and shocking collapse for the long-ruling Barisan Nasional. It was just really, really surprising.
When we think of the relationships between these prominent politicians, it becomes all the more intriguing. The incoming Mahathir Mohamad, a political mentor of the now ex-leader Najib Razak, who's been banned from leaving the country. 2 years ago, though, he'd said he was embarrassed by the corruption allegation of the man he had mentored and joined the opposition Alliance of Hope. I mean, it goes further than that in terms of the web of intrigue here, but that in itself, it adds a complication, doesn't it?
Yes, of course it does. I mean, it's been the case that Mahathir has spoken out and criticised former prime ministers before. He didn't like what they were doing. He didn't like their style of governing and so on and so forth. But this is really the first time he came out and called one of his successors a thief, you know, someone who's stolen public money. It was a shocking allegation. It's yet to be proven true. There are investigations going on into Najib Razak right now. But even at the time when he said it, it was a very divisive comment.
Waiting in the wings, it seems, is the relatively young 70-year-old Ibrahim Anwar. Anwar Ibrahim, who actually had spent time in prison himself and has at times been in the favour of Mahathir Mohamad, at other times not so much. How's their relationship now, and why is Anwar seen as being the natural successor, maybe in as soon as 1 or 2 years' time?
Well, it's because Anwar leads the largest party in the four-party government now in the coalition called the Alliance of Hope. So even previously, before the election took place, there was a deal already in place that Mahathir would lead the coalition for now while Anwar was in jail. And once Anwar is pardoned, which happened last week, very quickly, I might add, then Anwar would, they would start the process of transition and Anwar would return in a couple of years or so. Now, nothing set in stone in terms of timeline, but it is a very important deal. It was struck to ensure that the coalition would come together, they would be able to go into the election with a prime minister candidate, and that for Anwar supporters, it made it acceptable for them to accept Mahathir as the coalition leader because of, as you mentioned, the bad blood that has been there before.
Reports suggest that Mahathir will speed up every government process to steer the country in what he would consider to be the right direction. How possible will that be, given the potential for being weighed down by this huge corruption scandal emerging around former leader Najib Razak?
Well, that corruption scandal, the investigations into it, the seizure of property, the raids and the searches of Najib Razak's various residences, that's all gone on very quickly. I'm not sure how soon they could offer a charge because the web of transactions that's been reported before this that allegedly took place, it's really complicated. But this investigation at least is going ahead very quickly, and that's being handled by a team of people, law enforcers, who were removed from their positions by Najib Razak when the scandal broke out. So I think there are people here who are motivated in getting that running along, and he leaves the business of governing to Mahathir and his cabinet, and they can pretty much proceed without thinking about this corruption scandal. They've said that they want to reform institutions, they want to reform the economy, they want to get government finances right. There's a lot of work to be done here, but I think they're committed to it. It's one of the campaign promises. They've got basically 5 years to turn things around, and voters are going to judge them if they don't deliver.
Economic reform, what does that mean for trade partners and for the wider region, including ourselves here in South Korea?
Well, I think what Mahathir is talking about is just wiping the slate clean, pressing the reset button. Najib was famously very close to China, even to the extent where Malaysians themselves criticized certain projects, certain deals that it bring in with Chinese money, with Chinese finances. He also had certain deals in place with America. So I think what Mahathir wants to really get back to is when Malaysia back under his time, in his 22 years in power, it was very neutral. It sat between all these powers. It was pro-trade. Malaysia signed a lot of free trade agreements with many different countries. But I think what Mahathir is trying to get at here is that it has to be in our own national interest, all these deals. It's not just about bailing out the administration. It's not just about getting friendly with superpowers. What's in it for Malaysians? Are there jobs, etc., etc.? What's the real multiplier effect here? And I think that's where he's going to go with foreign relations and trade partnerships.
It could have been very different, the election outcome, if more younger people had decided to vote. Why are younger people so disengaged, with 41% of registered voters being under 40?
Well, I'd say that after several elections where younger voters at that point were really very engaged, and they've largely voted for the opposition, but the opposition that is in government now, and they've been disappointed not once but twice. And even in 2013, the government at that point had lost a popular vote but still remained in power because of very skewed electoral maps, because of the gerrymandering, because of the malapportionment. They've succeeded this time, but you can kind of understand the voter apathy leading up to this election. People thought that a change wasn't possible. They thought that the government had skewed and rigged the entire election to the point where a victory was not possible. But just the sheer amount of people that did turn out, that did vote for Mahathir, whether it was just a protest vote, whether they really thought they could win is another question. But if you look at the final share of the vote, the previous government only won 34%. That was ridiculously low, well below any projection.
Yeah, just going to some of the figures while we have a moment. 18.7 million registered voters in Malaysia, more than 40% aged between 21 and 39, double the number of voters over 60. But many young people seen as not even registering, which is why we're wondering about this particular issue. But just to conclude, Shannon Toh, do you see this as being a smooth transition for the country? What do you think the next few months hold in store?
So far, it's been pretty smooth. I mean, there were concerns that Najib would not want to concede and would use various instruments of government to stay in power. But that's not happened. And Mahathir, having been there, done that, he's been in government for 22 years. He kind of knew how this would go down, as it were. And he already had, I suppose, discussions with the police, with the armed forces, with various senior civil servants about, if I win, then this is how it's going to take place. And he already had all this processes very in place very quickly after the results began streaming in. Next few months going to be interesting. It's they don't have a template. His coalition doesn't have a template about who gets which cabinet positions. It's all new for them. So there's been a bit of squabbling within his coalition. The next step, obviously, is to swear in a full cabinet. He's sworn in 13 members yesterday. They've got to get up to 25, get a full cabinet. They've got to make sure that the institutions are reformed in terms of even picking department heads. And they've got economic policy in place. Malaysia announces its budget every September or October. So that's just about 3 months to figure out how they want to go forward with government finances. How do they want to go forward with the economy? So there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, we'll be watching the process, Shannon Toll. We've got to leave it there. Thank you for joining us from your position at the Straits Times.